Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, can we just graduate already? If you happen to be a grad, we have some apps that will help you in the next phase of your life.
Plus, Foursquare swarming an app that's going to make you go blech. And multiple pains in iOS 8?
Maybe. All that and Launch Center Pro. That'll help you on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/iPad today. And by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. iPad Today is on the air.
Yeah, it is. And it is windy.
It's windy.
Why?
Who's walking down the streets of the city, smiling at everybody she sees?
Who?
Windy.
Oh. Is that a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently not one you've heard before, which makes me sound crazy.
Well, Windy is not really a name. Wendy.
Who's walking down the streets of the city, smiling at everybody. You ever hear that?
No.
You sing it very well. You vamp well.
Thank
Welcome
you.
Back. You were in Miami.
I was.
And the sun was shining.
Sort of. It was also raining a lot.
You want to say hi to Wendy from
Denver.
Denver.
She's a veterinarian.
And Amber from Wasilla.
Alaska. Amber was, get this. Amber was meeting her husband, who has been deployed and stationed in Cuba for 7 months.
Wow.
And she hadn't seen him.
At Guantanamo.
And she was in Alaska. He's in Cuba. They were meeting in Miami. And they've got a little kid. And they hadn't seen each other in 7 months. And so.
Oh, she must have been very excited.
She was like.
And maybe nervous.
It was kind of a meltdown situation.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know. Like I'm sure it's all fine.
Friends made. In by just serendipitously.
Correct.
On a ride from Sarasota to Miami.
That's right.
Whoever thought you'd be found yourself.
Through Alligator Alley. We didn't see any alligators.
No alligators?
No. But there was a panther preserve.
Ooh.
Didn't see any of those either. Ooh. But apparently, I did quite a bit of research. 210 Florida panthers left. Not including like in a zoo.
Isn't that the name of their football team also?
Yes.
Yes. All right. This is a show about not Florida, but the iPad.
Yeah.
Although you may learn a few things about the states of our nation if you listen.
We're
big into geography.
Very much so. I guess our theme today, which is apps for grads. And you might say, well, I'm not a graduate, but it's not just, hey, I just got a diploma or I just got out of high school. Could be that stuff. But in general, we all go through phases of our lives where things are different. You're starting a new chapter.
Hey,
you
Sarah
get
Lane,
organized.
You've just pushed the tassel over to the other side of your mortarboard.
Yeah.
What are you going to do next?
Go to Miami.
Yeah. It's a long-standing habit. Well, that's one thing people want to do when they get out of school. They want to travel a little bit before they begin the grind.
If you have the luxury of a few months. That was a big thing when I got out of college. Everybody backpacked through Europe as long as their parents would float them.
Well, that's the trick. My son, who didn't graduate, but he survived freshman year, is off to Amsterdam as we speak.
That is delightful.
Yes.
It's very nice.
So I thought this would be a fun app. It's called Trip Tease.
So it's, but it doesn't, it's, okay.
It
sounds like something else.
It has nothing to do with what you think.
Okay.
Trip Tease, actually this is fun, is an app that will just tease you about trips you might take. It's a free app, so you can find it on the App Store. And you can search for people and places. You can look at what people are looking at right now. Goa. I've always wanted to go to Goa. So you could find out a little bit about it, about the hotels. This is in India. Beautiful images.
I've been there.
Yeah, I figured you have. There's hardly anywhere you haven't been. Look at the beach in Goa. It's gorgeous.
Well, they're pretty good at hiding the garbage and the cows, but okay. It is really cool.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's India.
Well, but that's the, so, you know, Goa not in your future? You can find out, you know, you can look for other ideas. There's editor's picks. In fact, we saw a few of those when we started up the app. This is just kind of a travel magazine, a free travel magazine.
Oh, that's cool.
Basically. You know, another place that I was thinking would be kind of fun to go is Bali. Bali High is calling. So they talk about people who have been there, and you can read, you know, blog posts. Rachel Fu says Bali is awesome. Here's some of her pictures. So it's kind of fun. I mean, it's a kind of a travel magazine made by real people who have posted their thoughts on various blogs and so forth.
Yeah, it's sort of like a mixture of inspiration, trying to figure out where you want to go, but then all this, yeah, cool stuff
it's
that
fun,
you might see
it?
And do while you're there.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not Fromers, it's not Fodors, it's not Lonely Planet, it's not professionals. These are from a variety of blogs and websites all over the place. So I like the idea that you're getting a slice of life from people who just went and said, this is what I saw, this is what I liked. I think this is kind of fun. Healthy cooking classes in Bali. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got great food there.
Yeah.
Bali's very unusual because it's a little Hindu island.
Right.
Surrounded by
Right, here's a purification ritual.
There you go.
Doesn't that look fun?
It certainly
so,
does.
Anyway, I just thought this would be look, we're gonna talk about some practical stuff, but
sure.
You just graduated. It take a few weeks to really live life and enjoy and celebrate what your accomplishment.
Now, this one is much more I don't know how it's not as exciting as Bali. Let's just say that. But let's say that you or someone you know is going to throw a party for your graduation.
Graduation
perhaps.
Party.
Something like that. Maybe you want to put together some invitations. Now, I actually just sort of co-hosted with a couple other women a baby shower. So that's not graduating. I guess she's graduating from getting pregnant in a way.
Graduating from
it's a certain kind of graduation.
Not being a mom.
Right, exactly. Yes. Babies graduating from womb to real life. But the idea is that invitations, in my experience, if you, you get a recommendation of these people who print something really nice, they can get extremely expensive. With services like Maker, and this is M-A-K-R, by the way, you can put together something that's extremely nice all by yourself.
Neat.
And let's say, okay, this is a holiday cookie swap, but this is, you know, you can make it whatever you want to make it. You can change all the lettering. You can design not only the front of the card, but also the back. You know, have a little something-something here. You can change the text, the way that, not just the way that it looks, but also the size. Texture is kind of interesting. Oh, you can actually make the text have texture. It's a little bit weird. Also, there's layers involved, too. So if you're like, well, let's go back to the front, undo. Where are we? If we go back to discard. Go to the front of some other card, you can see that this all looks very nice, but let's say you wanted to have some text that was slightly transparent, not completely opaque, over an image. You can start building layers into these invitations. And if you're comfortable enough with that to have some fun, you can really get crazy here. This is this is a bride-to-be type of thing. But again, for a graduate, I looked through all of these. There isn't anything with like a cap and gown, but it's almost better that way. They're great templates. This stuff is very, very nice. That'll at least just get you started. And then, of course, if you put something together, then you can go ahead and order the cards in.
So they're printed as well as digital.
Yeah. This is actually just.
Well, sometimes they're just digital, right? But this is real printed cards.
Yeah. You have the option.
Oh, you have the option.
You know that there's like paperless post. That's a very popular online. Right. Hey, here's an invitation to my party. Say if you're going
to
come or not.
Nice to send a physical invitation. I'm old fashioned, I guess.
I feel the same way, and I thought that was the right call for this particular baby shower. I had so many people contact me well after the RSVP deadline saying, oh, I'm sorry, I like only check my snail mail like once every few weeks.
I never go to my box.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's sort of a thing.
You got to do both then, huh?
You kind of have to be like,
see,
save the date.
I rarely check paper. My email, so.
Yeah, well, can't have it all.
Can I ask you a question?
I think you will anyway.
What? You could say no and the show would just grind to a halt.
Okay, no, ask. Ask away.
What color is your parachute? You don't have to answer. It's kind of a rhetorical question. Do you remember that book?
No.
This was, you should know about this. This
okay.
is probably why you've taken such a wrong turn in your career. This.
I was wondering.
Nodding thoughtfully.
I was wondering.
This
where,
is the book, The
going.
Job Hunting Guide, that was the book for years. It is in a tablet edition now. Let me show you. It's $3.99. And what I like about it is, you know, the book was great, and we all read the book. 10-Speed Press. Richard Bowles wrote it. And it's still, by the way, just as good as it ever was. How to Create a Picture of Your Ideal Job or Your Next Career. You've just graduated. What better thing to do than this? So it helps you move from the world of education to the world of work by finding something that you really love to do. Work through this, and there's even, you'll see, interactive stuff, okay? This is the mediums sort card. I have no idea how this works. Let's go back and read about it. 21 mediums. Question is, which of these do I most like to work with? What medium do you like to work with? Then we're going to order these from 1 to 21. Do you like people, words? Do you like to work with plants, animals, objects? I think electronics, number one for me, probably for a lot of people who watch. But I like people, too, which is going to put me in a kind of an odd position, 1 and 2. I do love music. I love sound. Let's just, paper. Yeah, I like kind of paper. You know what's going to be last here? Animals, plants, trees. Well, I have to guess you have to do it in order. I like ideas. I really do. And I love money. No, we'll put money in number 7, then graphics. You see, the idea is you're going to work through this whole thing. I'll just kind of fill these in. You'll want to spend a little bit more time thinking about these, I think, as you do it, than I am about to spend. But I want to get to the end of this, and then we'll fill the rest. Okay. Now that you know your top favorite mediums, where do they go? Why does the flower have 7 petals? And so you're going to arrange these. By the time you work through this whole thing, believe it or not, this looks, sounds a little hokey. This is actually great. I did this when I got out of high school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. This is the book, What Color is Your Parachute? It is a fabulous way to figure out what you love and then to work through this process to figure out what maybe you want to, what careers you might want to look at. It's, remember the career counseling test they used to give you in high school? This mm-hmm. is it on steroids, and it's really fabulous. And by the way, anybody could use this at any time. What you know from your previous jobs, what you learned that you liked or didn't like from your previous jobs, for instance. So this is a fabulous workbook. $3.99. What Color is Your Parachute? I think this is a fabulous book and now really brought into the tablet era. And I think well worth getting.
I'm going to read it.
What color? Well, no, I think it's too late for you.
Huh.
You've chosen. And you know what, Sarah Lane? You've chosen wisely. You have the perfect, perfect career. And I think we'd all agree that.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope so. I think it's pretty fun.
You're good at it. People love you doing it. You make a decent living. I think this is, what more could you ask for? Unless you wanted to work with sheep.
I don't have a problem with sheep.
Shepherd is always available.
That's true.
That's what Woody Allen, when he took his career assessment, shepherd.
Really?
Yeah.
He wouldn't be. The sheep would get so sick of him yapping on about whatever. So there's an app called Glassdoor that has been a web service for eons. It became an iPad app at least a year ago, maybe even a little bit more. What's nice about Glassdoor is, and it's changed somewhat, it used to be, hey, what kind of salary range can you expect based on what you want to do?
That's great.
Yeah, and based on where you live, because, of course, there are, jobs that pay better maybe in San Francisco because the price of living is so much higher than some other city. It's a little bit more of a job seeking slash salary information at this point.
But that's valuable because you want to know if you've chosen shepherd, for instance, that you can only make $5,000 a year doing it.
Are all the other shepherds somehow, you know, do you have to put in 20 years in order to...
Great information.
Great information. So what I did was it located me near Petaluma. And so I think that's actually kind of good because Petaluma has, there's plenty of opportunities, but it's not a huge city. So I've got web developer. I just put in something that was kind of generic to get a bunch of answers. I went ahead and said search. And here we have based in Petaluma, Nevada, which is a city that's pretty close by.
Wow.
Berkeley, Richmond, Santa Rosa. Anyway, there's quite a few job descriptions that kind of fall under that whole senior software engineer at Enphase Energy. Maybe that looks like something that's...
That sounds like an office space type job.
It does. Enphase
I'm
Energy.
Working Enphase.
I am a senior engineer. Don't know what I do. But anyway, here's more information about the job. You can go ahead and apply through Glassdoor, which is nice. Or I can say, you know, jobs are great, but with the same search, I would actually prefer to search via company. Or you could prefer... Whoops, you have to say search again. And so then, maybe I'm extremely interested in working at O'Reilly. O'Reilly is coming up because
They're
local.
In Sebastopol.
It's up in Sebastopol.
It's where you grew up, in fact.
That's true. And what's kind of neat is that people then will review the company that have, you know, O'Reilly has a lot of freelancers.
Oh, so, and are these anonymous? They must be.
They must be.
That's really great because you can see who are people who are actually working there. Mm-hmm. What they think of it.
Well, the culture's too conservative, for example. Low salaries for web developers. The culture doesn't match the norm for modern Bay Area tech companies. Well, you know, you're in Sebastopol.
You're in Sebastopol.
So I don't know what you're...
It's lifestyle that people go there for.
So let's just go ahead. Yeah, exactly. Let's look for salaries. So you're looking at, again, this is Petaluma, and this is according to data that's coming into Glassdoor. That for a company like NeoMed Pharmaceuticals, a web developer, you know, you're looking around, you know,
67K.
Anywhere. Yeah, that's a median price. But you get a sense of what you can sort of count on, and then you can make informed choices from there. This company is based in Napa, so maybe you want to live in the wine country. That's fine too. Anyway, Glassdoor is a great little service. You did notice when I looked when I was looking at the jobs. That there is some advertising that pops up here and there. It's nothing that is too invasive as far as I'm concerned. And what's nice is that if you're just kind of in like, hey, let's see what's out there mode, this is perfect for that. But if you're in full job seeking mode, you can save your own jobs to come back to you later. Like I mentioned, you can apply. You can share that job with someone else. If I say, hey, Leo, do you think, you know, can you read this job description and see, you know, is this right for my friend Teresa? It's a really great service, and they're actually based in the Bay Area. I think they're based in Sausalito, if I remember correctly. But Glassdoor,
they are
great iPad app.
They're a Sausalito company.
Yeah.
Of course, we shouldn't forget LinkedIn. I mean,
can't forget it.
You're probably not a member of LinkedIn already. And as you get out of school, certainly as you're even in school, this is maybe where you'd start to go to start building your contacts, building your resume. After many years as a member of LinkedIn, deleted my account because I realized that I will never be looking for work again. Just as you are coming into your life, I'm going out of mine. Just as your life is beginning with many new vistas ahead of you, I'm starting to do for the last time many things that years ago I was doing for the first time.
That must be a very interesting feeling. I will never look for work again.
It's a weird feeling.
That's not necessarily a fact. But
God, I hope it is.
Probably. I mean, you don't want to look for work again. That's your point, right?
I'm getting a face tattoo. Never going to have to look for a job again. No, but I think everybody else, if you're in the workplace, and especially if you're a graduate heading in the workplace, LinkedIn is a must. You got to have an account.
Yeah.
Don't think of it as Facebook. Don't treat it like Facebook. Treat it as a professional kind of presence on the web that people who are thinking about you as an employee, that's the first place they're going to go to look at your resume, your connections, your experience. Really important to start creating that LinkedIn account now and continuing to add to it throughout your career?
I have a love-hate relationship with LinkedIn. LinkedIn is notorious for finding reasons to keep sending you email notifications even after you've said, never email me about anything. And then it'll say, but that was only the newsletter. This is a whole different... So I feel like I'm constantly upset with LinkedIn, but that's...
I'm with you, that's why I deleted it, but I don't think you can't afford to.
Yeah.
You can, because you too will never again have to look for work. But for the rest of the world, I think it's really important that they be on LinkedIn.
I'm going to take that as a good thing. I have arrived.
You have.
I'll never leave.
You have. Yeah.
LinkedIn is... It's also really... I find LinkedIn to be fascinating because I'm on LinkedIn all the time because I'm just looking at features. I want to see what's new. It's very much a social network. Amber and I talk about LinkedIn quite a bit on the Social Hour. But it's also kind of fun when you see someone who's gone in and endorsed a bunch of people. There are certain LinkedIn behaviors where you're like, somebody's sniffing around for a new job.
Right, you can tell.
You can kind of just tell because all of a sudden they're pretty active on LinkedIn.
But that's why now is the time to start it when you know you are looking for a job and that's public. And then continue to refine it so it doesn't look like it suddenly got very active. And the endorsements are very important. And you may have to solicit those. But when you've worked for somebody or you've got professors who thought highly of you, get those endorsements now. Those professors may not remember you in a couple of years. Get them now because those will continue to add up on your page and they really make you a much more impressive candidate. What about Facebook? I think if you're on Facebook, now would be the time to start editing it, taking out those pictures of you, you know, drunk on the floor with a mustache painted on your face.
Aren't there really, I mean, is that...
Well, nowadays, everybody's
really still,
got one.
Is that a problem? Are people just posting, like, just a crazy drunk stuff? You know, LinkedIn, I have found people that I used to work with. I have found people that I just never even worked with, but I just knew because it's kind of just...
Everybody's on.
It's a whole different thing on LinkedIn. There's actually a guy that I went to high school with. He used to be a great friend of mine. We worked at the same grocery store. He's not on Facebook for whatever reason or is, like, hidden or something.
But he is on LinkedIn.
I sent him a little message. He's a lawyer in the Sacramento area.
Well, son of a gun.
Son of a gun.
Who'd have thought that?
Yeah. And I was, like, really happy to see him.
That's neat.
Also, I had slightly changed my bio because instead of Tech News Today, I'm now doing Tech News Tonight. And I thought, I should, you know, just
make it up to date.
Keep everything a little up to date just in case anyone's wondering what's changed. What happens is that people who are connected to me who have notifications on all got this push notification that I got a new job.
Oh.
So I got all these congratulations.
See,
and
that's
it's like,
not great.
Well, it's
a lateral.
Part of my job is
lateral
new,
move.
But
yeah.
It's not.
You're still a twit.
Yeah. So it's a little wonky.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's good to have a presence there.
It was a bit of a relief to say I'm never going to have to use LinkedIn again and to delete it because I didn't want any more of those emails.
Right.
But maybe I should keep it because one of the valuable functions you perform on LinkedIn is as an endorser. So when, you know, if people who work for me may want an endorsement and because I'm not on LinkedIn, I can't give them one. So maybe I should have kept that LinkedIn thing. I think it is an important part of the function is to endorse as well as to be endorsed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It counts for a lot.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Good advice for a graduate, I think.
Well, if you are a grad or you're thinking about becoming a grad one day, hopefully some of these apps appealed to you. You might want to go traveling. You might want to know what you can get as a reasonable salary getting out there.
I love that.
Yeah.
What color is your parachute?
Figure out what color your parachute is.
Use LinkedIn.
Don't
get ready.
Don't move other people's cheese.
Right. What?
That's a business book. Who moved my cheese? I don't know. I haven't read it. I always assumed that the moral of the story was...
Don't move people's cheese.
Yeah, just leave other people's cheese alone. I'm not sure. I'm obviously not meant to be a manager. We record this show on Mondays right after Triangulation, which is also a really great show. Leo just kind of rolls right into this one. Even happens on the same set. iPad Today records live on Mondays. 12 noon, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 1900 UTC.
Very good.
I finally figured it out. And thanks to everybody who watches live. It's fun to have you all in chat giving us feedback. But if you want to watch on demand, twit.tv/IPT. That's our website, everybody. Looking good. Last week was an awesome show. You missed, if you missed Adobe Voice, Joy of Cooking, Dextrous. Go back, watch it.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I'm excited by my app.
Look at us. We were in black and white. Remember?
Oh, yeah. That's funny. Yeah, it was the black and white episode.
That looks a little weird, but okay.
Do you have a gadget that you no longer need? Who doesn't, right? Do you have a drawer full of gadgets you no longer need or a Maybe a closet, or you stick them all under your bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a place you could take those gadgets, turn them into cold, hard cash. That's Gazelle.com. Gazelle wants your old gadgets and pay you good money for them. In fact, you could find out exactly how much. There's no guessing. Just go to Gazelle right now. Look at your iPhone 5. Enter that in. What condition it's in, the carrier, is it unlocked? They'll even help you unlock it, which makes more money. And you'll be amazed at how much your old gadgets are worth. Now, here's the beauty part. These quotes are locked in for 30 days. So you can get the quotes right now, and if Apple announces a new iPad at WWDC or a new iPhone, and the price of the old ones drops, which it inevitably will, you've already locked in the higher price. Do it right now. Want to get rid of that old third generation or fourth generation iPad to get an iPad Air? Let's try it. Wi-Fi, 32 gigs. This is $190.
Wow.
I'll take it. Now, once you've got all this stuff, don't stop with one. Just get everything together. And they will buy Samsung tablets, Microsoft tablets. They'll buy phones from BlackBerry, HTC, LG, Samsung. Once you've got all the stuff in there, check out, and they'll send you a box. They'll pay the postage on anything worth more than a buck. And by the way, even broken iPads and iPhones are worth more than a buck. They're actually worth quite a bit. They'll send you a box. You pile everything in the box. You send it to them. They turn it around fast. If you forget to wipe the data, don't worry. Their experts will do that for you. They'll also send you a check, a PayPal credit, or an Amazon gift card. And if you like Amazon, that's my pro tip. Get the Amazon gift card because they'll bump it up 5% in value. You know, Gazelle has paid more than $100 million now to over 700,000 customers, 1.5 million trade-ins. And almost everybody rates Gazelle an excellent experience. 9 out of 10 customers. That's really good. You got to try it. Gazelle.com. Get rid of that old stuff and get some cold, hard dollars, some loot, some moolah in your hand with Gazelle.
Okay. Are we going to talk about this whole, and it is a rumor, Apple wanting to go split screen? There's a 9to5 Mac article that says they're trying to match the Microsoft Surface is what they're doing.
It's the rumor season. Not just the Surface. It's also something you can get on some of the Samsung tablets.
Yeah.
Even my Galaxy Note 3 and the Note 2, I think, have the split screen. If I found it annoying because I'd be looking at the phone and it would suddenly something else would come in off the side. But on a bigger, on a tablet, it might be more useful. I'm skeptical because I really like the simplicity of full screen apps and the way the iPad works, and it just seems to be very successful.
Right.
But I said that on a MacBreak Weekly on Tuesday, and Renee and Andy said, "Oh no, split screens are great. You're going to want a split screen. Feels like we're moving back to a computer to me."
I mean, I never really got that into multiple windows open on a desktop. I mean, I there is a time and place, but for the most part, I like to kind of do one thing at a time.
Focus.
Yeah.
And it isn't a desktop computer, so, you know, sometimes at home, I have three screens, and I'll have the chat room going, I'll have Twitter going, another screen, I'll have a terminal window open, I'll have my calendar open, I have lots of windows open, and it's a very functional, I have a lot of screen real estate, so I have a lot, it's very functional, but that's not the same kind of experience I have when I have my iPad in my lap and I'm watching TV. I don't want, it's too small to have all that stuff.
But okay.
So,
all right.
But I believe it's possible Apple's doing it. I think it's not an Apple-y thing to do.
It doesn't sound Apple-y to me, but I guess I was thinking, no, how many situations would you really need that in? I can see having the Twitter app, you can kind of get it a little bit smaller, sort of push over to the left-hand side, because that's something
that works. That works really well on the Surface, on the Windows 8.1 stuff, because you snap it, it's a column, and then you can continue to work, and just there you go.
You got your browser window open or whatever. I also feel like maybe because the iPad has made so many inroads in enterprise that it's something that can be offered to people who are truly multitasking. And it's not just like, I'm sitting watching TV. It's like there are a lot of work programs, work apps that are being used. So in that sense, I guess I could see that Apple would certainly at least consider it and see what their options were. But it doesn't sound very Apple-y. But maybe the iPad just has to evolve. You know, we keep hearing about how the sales are slowing and tablets aren't this revolution that they used to be. It's just something that you either have or you don't. And what's the next best thing?
I think people are delusional about their ability to multitask. In fact, I took this test, the multitasker test. This is a test, a university test that was designed, I can't remember where the university is, but was designed to test to see if people were truly multitaskers. And it turns out, let me see if I can find the test. I'll just show you a little bit. It's a tough test. Turns out that only about 2% of people can multitask. And furthermore, this is the Business Insider article I found it on. And furthermore, the people who are least good at multitasking are the people who overestimate their ability to multitask. So the people who are, let me say that again, the least good at multitasking are the ones who think they are the best at multitasking.
Is it?
Oh, it needs flash, so you can't do it on your iPad. It's at Newcastle University, the Department of Psychology there. And the test is fun. I encourage you to try it. What you are is you're a bouncer at a bar, and there are three doors, and it starts fairly easy. You can't let people in. There's certain rules who you can let in. It gets more complicated. It uses sound, uses visuals, gets more complicated. And it is a long test. It is a difficult test because it's a university psych experiment. But it will rate you as to whether you can multitask. I don't think I can because I got bored and I stopped taking the test. So maybe it was a test of attention span.
Well, it's all kind of, it's all related, right?
I think a lot of people cannot multitask and think they can. Now, to me, multiple windows is an aspirational thing. People go, well, I need to have multiple windows so I can, look at me, I have Twitter, chat, a terminal, my calendar, my browser, and I'm playing a game all at the same time at my computer at home. But really, I'm only doing one thing at a time. Really.
I feel like I'm
easily bored. It's really about attention span.
I feel like it's not so much that some people can multitask and some people can't. It's just that some people are just really bad at it. I'm not great at multitasking.
Nobody is.
I just go around in circles.
You have to put on headphones because your desk is out kind of in the middle of the studio.
Right, right.
And it's distracting to you. And I think a lot of people are like this. You need to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're alone. I think people are crazy that think they can do 18 things at the same time.
For sure. No.
You can't.
Well, it'd be like, you know how it's like when you want to, you say, what that? How does that song go? And I'm trying to think of how the melody is, but I'm listening to another song, which can't be done.
Can't do that.
Basically can't be done.
Can't do that.
You know, our brains are fragile little creatures.
So you have flash on your computer, Brian.
Treat them with care.
Just keep going. Those are the rules, which are complicated. So here's the doors. Okay, now, you have two keys that you can press on the keyboard. And the idea is you can't let somebody in if they try twice in a row, and it's complicated, but it's not a particularly you see, you suck at it, Brian. If anybody could, well, you read the instructions. It really is. I'm telling you, a test for people who can't.
Brian, are you ever going to choose the right door, Brian?
The instructions are too long.
It's a really interesting test, but again, the results are from these tests and extensive tests that only 2% of the people really can multitask. 2%, 1 in 50, and many of the people who say, oh, yes, I'm excellent, I can really multitask, can't. In fact, they are the worst at estimating their ability to multitask.
So how about this, Apple? Why don't you just not give us a split screen?
One screen.
98% of us are only going to become less organized because of it. Just be cool. You know, speaking of Apple, there's actually this isn't an app, it's a book. It's in the iBook store. Called iOS Human Interface Guidelines.
Well, this book has been around for years, but what's great, and it's free if you're in the developer program. What's great is they've now put it in the iBook store.
Yes.
So and it's a big book. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is it's kind of introducing programmers, people who are interested in developing for iOS, the Apple way of doing things. It's like they're
guidelines for user interface.
Right, yeah.
Apple's done this from day one when
Chicago
the Mac...
style.
Yeah, their style guide, yeah. Mm-hmm. From the day one when the Macintosh came out in 1984, they published the programmer's guidelines for the interface, the user interface, and they were very dogmatic about it. And I have to give them credit because I think this made, at least in the early days, Macintosh easier to use than Windows. I think it made iPad easier to use. But what happens with user interface guidelines is they drift, and people start doing things like multitasking.
Right.
And because users demand it, you want more checkboxes and so forth. And so I think it's a good thing. I think everybody should read these guidelines. And I think Apple's very smart. They think long and hard about this stuff. And I remember reading the early user interface guidelines on the Macintosh. I wrote Macintosh software for fun, and paid close attention to it, and I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was elegant. I thought it was right on. So keep it going. It's good.
All right, so we got to talk about this. I assumed you probably talked about it on Twit yesterday, and that is the new Swarm app from Foursquare.
Yeah, except it's been out for a little while.
It just came out on Friday.
Oh, they announced it. I'm sorry. They announced it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I hadn't played with it yet. So
oh,
it's out now, huh?
Yeah, it's out. It's interesting. And
so Foursquare split its capabilities.
Exactly.
Basically.
So what it is now is...
Is Swarm the check-in app?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's what I do
weird.
Still.
That's what's weird. Same with me.
I like
that's
that
what's
part.
Weird about it is, like, why not just keep Foursquare the check-in app and then add something else? I guess because Swarm is almost a better name. Anyway, the app is now two different apps. And what's interesting is that, okay, let's say...
No, this is iPhone only, by the way. It's not in the iPad store.
Right. Works on the iPad fine.
But if you think about it, it makes sense on a phone more than it does...
This is Foursquare.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't really look the way that it used to, because I'm sort of like, hey, where are all the indications
it's
of where my friends are?
Now.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, here's a tip from Johnny Moda. If you're a guest, use the free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Happy face. Okay, so let's say I'm like, all right, I want to check in. Oh, now all of a sudden I'm in the new app. Swarm, I'd like to send you push notification. No. So now...
Oh, so at least it launches it.
Yeah, they work together pretty well. So I say, okay, yeah, I'm in the Schwit Brickhouse Studios. But now there's a little bit more context, and it almost feels a little path-like.
It always did this, and it let you put a picture in there. It's been doing that in the regular app, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think there's more emphasis on you're somewhere, give a little update to your friends.
Right.
What's also different is that instead of, you know, becoming the mayor, right now I'm mayor of my coffee shop. It's like there's now, it has de-emphasized the idea of, like, there just being one mayor of a venue in the whole world.
Right.
Now it'll be like, I could be the person who checks into my coffee shop more than everyone I'm connected to on Swarm, so I'm the mayor, or whatever they're going to call it.
So Swarm is the term that Foursquare uses when there's an awful lot of people
right.
at a place. You get a swarm at an airport when there's 50 people all checked in on Foursquare. They've also added neighborhood notifications. Facebook recently did this too. So I can look at my Swarm and see people who are nearby. You're nearby. Glenn's nearby. Patrick's nearby. It says Lisa's a mile away. Anthony is 5 miles away. Russell's 20 miles away. And Nick Bilton's far, far away.
So, yeah.
That's kind of fun. It shows all my buddies.
Yeah.
And where they are and what they're doing. So
it's not
check in with Swarm and use the old Foursquare app to see what's going on.
That's the whole thing. Is you might say, well, Foursquare was the point. The point of Foursquare now is discovery. And that was something that the app was moving toward for some time.
Right.
You might, you know, I know a lot of people like to say, who cares about mayorships and checking in? That's so dumb.
I like it, but I think the people got tired of it.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, that's a little gimmicky, and that's why Foursquare decided, listen, we'll still give you that functionality. This can be a social experience, but we have so many data points
right.
just from people checking in over the last, you know, the app launched in 2009. What do we do with all that information? Let's make it as easy as possible for someone like Sarah to click the food tab and learn all sorts of places that people like and have been to and are popular in any city or town or whatever. Now, you and I have looked through Petaluma extensively. I mean, there's only so many places.
People
that,
here,
yeah, exactly. So it's all kind of the same stuff. But, you know, when I'm in an unfamiliar city, a place I've never been before, Yelp is fine. I find Foursquare is actually better. They've been making use of mobile since the very beginning. In fact, that's all Foursquare really is. So it really lends itself to you're out and about, you look up and you think, I don't know where I am. Let's just find the best coffee house that's got a lot of good reviews nearby. So yeah, Foursquare and Swarm, they are now companion apps, at least for the time being.
I kind of get the feeling that this is Foursquare acknowledging, it's almost a pivot. Foursquare kind of acknowledging that, remember Gowalla, which was a Foursquare competitor, went out of business.
Right.
And I think Foursquare, which was really...
Didn't Facebook buy Gowalla and that was the end of Gowalla?
Maybe that's what happened.
I think that's what it was.
I think they went down.
I think
did they get acquired? In any event, I think Foursquare... although they've got plenty of investment capital, Instagram just stopped using Foursquare for their check-in data.
Yeah, they use Facebook Places now, which is kind of
competitive,
crappy.
And I think they're not doing as well, and I think people aren't checking in at the rate they were. So I think Foursquare kind of recognized the writing on the wall. Splitting into two apps, though, is kind of like splitting your window into two panes.
Mm.
It's risky.
It is.
Because people might not download the other app. They may not use it. It's a little extra effort.
When Swarm went live in the App Store, which was last Friday, I was all excited because I just happened to be in a different state, you know, so it's kind of fun to check in. But I was reading some comments of people online, and they were just saying, this is just not, nobody needs this. This app isn't going to go anywhere. This isn't going to be a huge success.
Right.
And I don't know if that's true or not. But yeah, really, discovery is more important to me than checking in.
See, I'm the other way around. I like the game.
Yeah.
And I want to get a mayorship.
But when you go to Maui, right, and you're like, okay, we've been at this hotel for a few days.
But you want to check in again and again and again.
Well, but like,
maybe this will give
where's
you tips.
The cool shave ice place
well, I think
that
they go
locals
together,
go
though.
To?
See, I think they kind of go together.
Yeah, I know.
And the truth is, Foursquare collected all this data from check-in, so they can't really let that go. I don't know.
Can we very quickly address
this? I just downloaded it, though, because...
Swarm?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. Can we quickly address this definitely rumor that Recode wrote up this morning that Twitter might be interested in buying SoundCloud?
That makes sense.
It does?
Yeah. In fact...
Because Twitter Music wasn't much of a
success? It was
success.
A flop. SoundCloud is quite successful, I think. SoundCloud is a system where... A lot of musicians share their music on SoundCloud. It's just an audio sharing service. That's it.
Yeah.
No pictures, no video, just audio. Podcasters use it. Scoble uses it, for instance, to post short. I played with it for a little while. I like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's used by musicians. My son shares all his beats on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And I think this is a smart acquisition for Twitter to make. This integrates people. You know, you can tweet now when you post something on SoundCloud. You can tweet it. It integrates something of useful audio portion thing into the Twitter. So you know, Twitter's just text, but maybe you can text linking to a sound.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, Twitter's over the years put a lot more emphasis on sharing images. Now
Vine.
You can share multiple images.
They
you got
bought Vine for video.
You don't have anything that's audio-based, though.
Right. I think that's interesting. That one, I believe. I still don't believe the Apple buying Beats rumor, and so far... It hasn't happened.
No official word from either company.
YouTube bought Twitch. I think that makes a lot of sense. In fact, I bet you anything Microsoft was trying to get Twitch, and YouTube stole it out.
That's the story.
Google stole it out from under
them. Is YouTube going to buy Twit?
Well, you take off two letters, and they already did.
Just thought I'd ask and put you on the spot.
Twitter should buy Twit. It'd be easy. You wouldn't have to do any rebranding.
We could just talk about Twitter. It's perfect. All right. I don't know if Twitter's buying SoundCloud.
I don't usually report rumors because it's hard to confirm them and they could be made up. This Beats rumor is now in its second week.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we shouldn't report rumors. This is a total rumor. But to me, this one makes sense. The Beats rumor made no sense. This one makes a little bit of sense to me.
I think I would be, I don't know, especially since Twitter has such a great representation of artists. Really, everybody's got a Twitter account, you know?
Right.
So I can see, but...
Well, if you're Madonna or you're Lady Gaga...
Exactly.
You could use Twitter now not only to say, here's a new track, you could put a little bit of the new track on there.
Yeah.
And SoundCloud has a great community, a really vibrant, exciting, active community.
Yeah, I used to think of SoundCloud as like, oh, these are like DJs that aren't very good, and so they're just putting up their crappy stuff online,
that.
And that's not true anymore at all. People are like, I don't know, this is where like singles get posted first now.
Yeah.
And I've
it's
always
a great
thought
platform.
As somebody who, you know, you mentioned Lady Gaga. I don't think I've ever followed Lady Gaga on Twitter, but let's just use her for an example. I usually only end up following artists for a short amount of time because I'm like, they're not really talking about the stuff that I like them for.
Right.
Because it's like this sort, kind of like a personal inside baseball type thing, and so I unfollow them. If more artists were posting links to new tracks or a remix or something like that that does happen on SoundCloud all the time, that would make sense. I do follow Jared Leto, though, because he's always tweeting images of himself, and he's so good-looking.
He's hot.
Yeah.
He's hot as a man and as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not everybody can say that.
He can do both.
So SoundCloud, we should mention, has an excellent iPad app
they
that
do.
You can you can you showed it. You can put sounds into and all of that stuff and listen to sounds. The negative on SoundCloud is it's not visually very interesting.
No, and in fact, it's a little weird because people will they'll you know leave feedback during a song. Let's go to activity here.
I'm just going to use Facebook to sign into there real quickly. And I follow, you know, I follow my son. I follow a few other people on it.
Like some of this stuff, I don't know. I'm not sure I would call SoundCloud the most beautiful iPad.
See, that's the thing. It's not, and because it's not a very visual thing.
You know.
But there's a Kanye West and T-Pain track.
And then you've got all these little comments down here, which is a little odd, but it, you know, if you...
That's one of the things I love about SoundCloud.
Oh, really? You do?
Yeah, you can embed the...
I'm afraid this is going to get weird, so I'm just going to stop that.
You can embed comments into the track. So that's the one visual element of it is as you're listening,
but
you can see what people say.
You don't find that distracting? Do you ever, like, watch a track from start to...
You don't have to look at it.
But you like it. You're saying you like it.
I do like it.
All right.
I've only posted two sounds on SoundCloud.
Have I posted anything?
Yeah.
I
thought for
I'm
a
not
long
an
time
artiste,
that
you know?
I used an English service
anything.
For a while when I was in China a few years back. I used an English service called Audio Boo.
Yep, I remember.
To record an audio diary of my trip. Every day I'd record a minute with sounds in the background and stuff. And I thought that was really fun and interesting. And I always thought maybe I should do this with SoundCloud. I never got around to doing it. I hope this is a true rumor, actually. I think this would be fun.
iPad today, baby. iPad today, graduation. So, yeah. Look, I made a song. Made a song.
Wow.
Nobody's going to judge me. They don't have to follow me if they don't want to.
Wow.
Save. Public? That's not. Where public? Private? Current location? Twitter Cast Studios. See, it's all the same.
I feel that this really is a natural for Twitter.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, man. You know what we'll also see?
What will we also see?
If I can ever save any money make
you know why this is
healthy financial decisions.
Do you feel I sometimes feel like maybe it's because I'm an old hippie, but you came from hippie roots, old hippie roots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the term wealth building is something wrong with it. Like, one shouldn't be trying to build one's wealth.
Oh, I would love to build some wealth.
Well, but see, then that's the other side of it.
Don't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Social Security ain't going to really be much to take care of you when you retire.
Mm.
You need to put money aside for your retirement. If you want to go on a vacation, if you want to buy a house, all of this requires wealth building. The problem is it's hard to do. We have busy lives. If you have a brokerage account, you're either getting too much attention from somebody trying to sell you on some kind of sketch stuff or too little attention because you don't have enough money and they go, whatever, call me when you've got $1 million. This is the solution. It's called Personal Capital. You can go there right now. It's absolutely free. Go to personalcapital.com/iPad today. And put in all your accounts, your mortgage, your credit cards, your bank accounts, most importantly, your retirement accounts. And if you don't have them, they'll help you create them. You'll immediately see how you're doing, how your money's growing or shrinking. You'll get great advice for how to plan for the future, how your portfolio is performing, where you're spending too much on fees, for instance, a bad investment that broker sold you. How you've allocated your assets, that's really important too. If you're going to retire in 10 years, your life plan is very different than if you're going to retire in 50 years. You could take more risks. Somebody mm-hmm. young like you could take more risks and should be taking more risks. So this will help you with all of this. They are not stockbrokers. They are not trying to sell you something. They're certified financial planners. They do not get a commission. In fact, it's absolutely free. You get a fee analyzer for your 401k, mutual fund fee calculator. That's very useful. But most importantly, you get these charts, you get this real-time information, and then you'll get information about how to tailor your investments to your specific goals and needs. It is a great solution. I've been using it for a couple of years, and I highly recommend it. If you feel like you're not getting enough attention, if you feel like you don't have enough time to do this, you do. personalcapital.com/iPad today. It really is fun and free, so, you know. Do it already.
Yeah.
They have a great iPad app.
I love the, yeah, I think this is...
Do it. Don't put it off.
You have to.
You've been putting it off, I can tell.
Well, especially when you're kind of in the middle of, I would say I'm like mid-career, where it's like,
Now's a good time.
Risky should I be? I used to...
Well, they'll tell you, right?
I remember the first advice I got was put it all in stocks.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't know if
that's what happens
anymore.
Over time. You rebalance, and I bet you know most people don't ever do this, but you rebalance to less risky investments as you get older. Yeah. By the time you're my age, you should really, you shouldn't have any money
in gold?
The stock market. You should have gold under your mattress.
Yeah, just gold bricks. A lot of gold bricks.
No, I still invest for the future because nowadays we live so long. You can't just assume that you're going to retire at 65 and be dead at 72.
That's the thing. Boy, you know,
we live into our 90s.
You get
now.
Those Social Security, like, hey, here's just your thanks for contributing.
Yeah, here's what you're going to get.
Here's kind of what the rest of your life looks like. And it's like, they cut you off at like 85 or something. And I'm like, well, then what do? Should I start having children so they can take care of me? Good grief. I have a lot of work to do. I'm exhausted.
This is personal capital. They'll help you figure that out.
Thank you.
I don't think they have an option for better have some children. I don't think that's in there.
It could really
it could backfire. Children totally. Expensive.
They take all your money.
They take it. They don't give you.
And then you wish you were dead.
Henry is not going to take care of me in my old age. I can pretty much be sure of that.
Well, that's what he's learning, the ways of child parenting in college.
Is he?
I don't know.
No.
Probably not.
He's learning how to party.
Cool. That's what college is for. Jared asks, when you download an iPhone-only app from the App Store, but the compatibility of the app works on the iPad, you know, the 2X thing.
Yeah.
Do you prefer this over an iPad-specific app?
Why?
If the app is, if there's one available too. Well, he's saying, do you like it to work exactly the same way on an iPhone and an iPad?
Well, the Swarm app is a perfect example. This is not an iPad app.
Right.
There are a couple of things. I mean, when you try to type text, you get the iPhone keyboard.
Yeah.
It's big. But it's not the iPad keyboard. You can have it doubled or you can have it regular size. And if you go back to the 1X, gee, that's attractive. But that's how it looks on the at iPhone resolution. I think get an iPad app. Almost always it's better. You know, there was maybe one exception with Path. Remember Path? When they first did an iPad app,
yeah, it sucked.
It was terrible. It was completely different.
It
was all pictures.
Less functionality.
Yeah. And by the way, they went back. They changed it. I think they got the message. People didn't like that.
Yeah, well.
So in general, I always choose the iPad app. But there may be exceptions like that.
Jared, I know what you mean, though. It is nice to... that's sort of the weird thing about even the term universal app, because it's both... That means it's been designed to run on an iPhone or an iPad, and you don't have to have two different apps.
I wish more people would do that.
Yeah. And you can take advantage of the screen real estate on the iPad to a universal app can be slightly different on iPhone and iPad.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But I think for some people, and Jared, I'm not sure if you're saying that this is you or if you're just asking how we feel about it, but some people are like, I just want the app to look exactly the same. I don't need anything special on my iPad. I just want it to look exactly like it would look like if I was accessing
it. Well, and that's the other problem is you have to use it in many cases in portrait mode.
Yeah.
Which I'm not fond of. I'd rather use landscape. There are apps, though, iPhone apps, that at least are aware of that and will switch side to a sideways display.
It's also rare on an iPhone. I mean, everything's portrait on an iPhone. Very rarely that you're doing
anything.
Yeah,
isn't that funny? And there are apps that will work sideways. But
Hipstamatic is like one of the only ones I can think of.
But I don't ever do it. And the keyboard's bigger, so in theory it'd be easier to type that way.
But
you never see anybody typing sideways on an iPhone.
Got another email from Foz, who says, I'm heading out on an extended road trip, and I'm looking to post photos with embedded quotes as part of the journey's story. I think I know what you're going to suggest. With my iPad and SD card reader, I can get halfway there. I just need to know if there's an app that I could use to add a layer of text to selected photos. Your insight or that of Andy Anatko or another photographer type is appreciated. Now, my first reaction was it's that journal...
Findery.
Well,
the iPhoto journal.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That I think you talked about last week.
I did. Findery, which is, of course, Katarina Fake's app that we talked about, is an iPhone-only app and ties to a map. So I guess the question is it a map you know, what exactly are you going to tie it to? If you just want a collection of photos with some text on them, there are lots of apps that will do that on the iPad. The problem is those photos, you know, you're going to have either two photos, the original and one with text, or if you throw away the original, you're only going to have the text version. That's not, doesn't sound very desirable.
Right. You know, at first,
what do you use to put text on the photos on the iPhone?
Well, yeah, it depends on. I mean, do you actually want text overlaid over your photos? It kind of sounds like you do because you say you're going to be posting photos right. and you want embedded quotes as part of the story. So I don't know where exactly your road trip is, but that would be that would probably not be a great case for iPhoto because that's more of just like a personal.
It's a journal.
We were there on that funny Monday.
But I prefer that because then you're not putting text on the photo.
Yeah.
You're putting text around it. You're captioning it. You're making a journal and you can have it day by day.
Yeah, it's your own little.
I think that's a better way to do it. It's a little more work, though. See, I see people do this on Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
Randall Schwartz does it, who's a host of Floss on this network. He will post pictures of his food and he'll have a. He has used his apps, Instagram apps, that will put the restaurant, the weather, you know, where he is. I used that when we were in New Orleans last year. I used that a little bit. And people said, why are you junking up your photos like that? The other problem is they put a watermark from the program on the photo. I don't like that.
There is an app. We have talked about it not recently called A Beautiful Mess. And it is not the only app that does this, but this is a nice iPad native app. And I'm actually downloading it again because for whatever reason it didn't come out of the cloud. I don't know why. Maybe I haven't talked about it on the show before. Maybe that was iPad.
I love the name.
Isn't that fun? But the idea is that you've got a photo. You might want to make it a little bit more exciting with a filter, but you can also add some fun stuff, some text. So here we go. So a beautiful mess. Let's go ahead and say, sure, let's start a collage. Foz, let's just assume you would like a collage. Let's do something very simple. We'll go a little try, access your photos, yes. Okie dokie. So I'm just going to go ahead and pull up a picture of me on the plane with a cookie. And I've got...
See, there's a ton of photo captioning apps out there. I mean, this is not an uncommon category. More so on the iPhone than the iPad, of course.
Of course. And, all right, so
That's nice. So you get frames as well, which is cool.
Yeah, and then what you can do is you can start... No, I don't want to start... you can edit your background somewhat. Anyway, the point I'm trying to get to is, okay, here's where it gets fun. So you've got filters, you've got borders, then you have like text. So I could say something like, okay, I like the happy dance font, kind of want it to be center aligned. Okay. And then you go ahead and say happy feet. Now, this is terrible, but you get the idea. Is like you can start creating what really feels like a collage of stuff. Change the color, this and that, as you saw in the examples. Double tap any border. Okay, fine. Yes, I'm done. A beautiful mess gives you that was so easy. That was so easy to do. That of course is a collage. You might be talking about individual photos, but this would be a great way to add quotes in a variety of different ways, or at least that look different design-wise.
How about Fonto?
Fonto is good,
Phonto. It's free, although there's in-app purchases. You see, I have an ad because I haven't paid the 99 cents. But it's easy to add text.
Very similar to A Beautiful Mess.
Yeah, and you get you can change the font. You know, lots of different fonts. You can change the style, colors, you know, sizes, patterns, that kind of thing. Tilt it if you wish. You move it around, obviously. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of doing this because it modifies the image. You know, but and this has built-in sharing to all of your favorite social networks. Fonto, Phonto. That's free, although they have in-app purchases. And the first one you might want to do is 99 cents to get rid of the ugly ads. Those don't show up in the. You know, what you post, obviously, but...
All right, we've got one more email. This one comes from Bill, who says, I'm going to be going on a couple cruises in the next couple months. Well, more than one cruise. And on an iPad Today show some time ago, Leo was talking about Audible and some of the cool Silicon Valley tech type books that he likes. I was at the gym at the time. I couldn't write them down. Could you remind me what some of your recommendations are? I listen daily and weekly to many of your shows, especially ones with Apple info.
Well, I wish we had an Audible ad right here. I could do an Audible ad, but we don't. But I'll give him a freebie.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, there's newer stuff which I've read that is great. Dogfight is the story of the Apple Google wars, mm-hmm. which are ongoing.
Yeah,
the lawsuits going back and forth. Either Apple suing Google, more likely Apple suing Google by proxy via Motorola, Samsung. They just buried the hatchet with Apple and Motorola, which is kind of interesting. So Dogfight, that's a great one. It's written by the Wired magazine writer Fred Vogelstein. Mm-hmm. That's on Audible. I also listen to the Everything Store, Brad Stone's story of Amazon, and it is a fascinating story. I learned a lot from that because Amazon founder Jeff Bezos really is kind of a business maverick and I think has some very good ideas about how businesses, business meetings, communications, negotiations should be run. He's obviously very successful at doing that. There's also older books that are classics like Stephen Levy's Hackers, which everybody in the computer industry should read. The Soul of the New Machine by Tracy Kidder. There's a lot of great stuff in the technology section on audible.com. And there's so many good books about the tech industry.
Hatching Twitter,
Nick Bilton's.
That's a good one.
We love Nick, and I should give him a plug. Nick Bilton's book on Twitter is a real pot boiler. It's kind of hard, but that's a soap opera that really happened. It's amazing.
And Bill, I mean, I think Bill mentions Audible because he probably likes audiobooks, but you know, these are, you don't have to listen to them via audio.
No, all of those books are, I think, still in print.
Mm-hmm.
Hackers is, I know. Soul of a New Machine may not. It's pretty old. It's the story of the Data General Nova, which is a mini computer in Massachusetts back in the 60s and how they designed it. But it's the early days of computer. There's some great books about Apple, too, of course. The Johnny Ive book that our friend Leander Connie wrote is a fascinating story. Let me think what the best Apple books are. I'd start with the Steve Jobs biography by Walter Isaacson. That's on Apple as well, on Audible as well. That is really, I think, there were a lot of criticisms of it because it was felt the author didn't, who was a great biographer, has done Einstein's biography and others, didn't know much about technology, and perhaps he didn't, but he had unparalleled access to Steve Jobs, many hours of interviews. So you're going to hear it from the horse's mouth pretty much in that book, and there's no question that's a very authoritative, the most authoritative biography of Steve Jobs today. So there's a few.
Yeah, I
enjoyed every one of those.
I think
books.
That's what Bill was going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get to reading.
I should get to you to Europe a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah. A
couple of cruises.
Yeah. Learn about the drama that is creating a business.
Nothing
in
like
the tech
actually
world.
Sitting in the hot tub on the back deck, listening to Audible, watching the waves and the ocean go by, occasional whales and dolphins.
Where are you?
Mind.
Oh, okay. I was whales and dolphins in the hot tub in the ocean? That sounds great.
Yeah,
coming
it does,
over.
Doesn't it?
We love hearing from all of you. Thanks to everybody who writes us with questions and comments and ideas. And you're all just wonderful folk. iPadToday@twit.tv is how you email us. Of course, Leo and I are listening if you'd like to leave us a voicemail as well. 757-504-IPAD or 4723.
I got my listening ears on.
There you go. Yeah. Got some weird voicemails this week, so none made the cut, but
You could use it on SoundCloud.
I've got some, yeah.
Use SoundCloud. Record something on SoundCloud and send us a link.
That is not a terrible idea. Maybe you've got
Tweet us the link.
Maybe you've got some issue with Google Voice. That's cool. SoundCloud us the file.
Do we have a Twitter account?
I don't think so.
We should make it like an iPad Today Twitter account.
We really should.
Probably somebody just did.
We should probably take a lot more advantage of SoundCloud than we ever have before. Yeah, but anyway. Yes. Any way you want to get a hold of us, we would like to talk to you. We want
any
to hear from you.
Any way you want it, that's
the way you need it. Any way you want it.
Our show today brought to you by our App Caps coming up. Brought to you by a startup that's Silicon Valley's answers to the big bank and going into a bank and putting on a tie and say, please, sir, may I have a loan? You don't need to do that anymore. You can do it all online with Prosper.com. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending service, bringing people with money to lend together with people who need money. What would you do if you could have $35,000 in your pocket in 3 days? That could change your life. You could pay off those high-interest rate credit cards, pay off those debts, or perhaps do a little home improvement, start a business, build your hat collection. Prosper.com/twits, the place to go. And you can fill out the form very easily and get a quote for your interest rate. It's, of course, tailored to you. It will not affect your credit score to get this. Fill out this application. You'll see the rate. These are low fixed-rate loans. They're unsecured, so you don't need any collateral. Multi-year terms are available. Prosper is Silicon Valley's answer to personal loans. With their innovative peer-to-peer lending process, you eliminate outrageous fees, rising interest rates, and you will never set foot in a bank. So successful that there are now more than 2 million members, lenders and borrowers alike, and over $1 billion, $1 billion in funded loans. That's amazing. Go to prosper.com/twit. Check your rate instantly. And if you get the loan, you're going to get a $50 Amazon gift card for a limited time, up to $35,000 in just 3 days, and receive a $50 Amazon gift card when you get the loan. Prosper.com, not affiliated with Amazon. For gift card details, visit prosper.com/twit. And we thank them for their support of iPad Today.
I'm going to get me a Prosper loan.
You're going to get you a hipster hat.
Yeah, that too.
I look like a hipster now.
This is an Austrian... some kind of hat.
Dirndl.
Dirndl?
No, that's a dress.
No. It's a specific kind of hat.
Leo
and I both received them from a really nice gentleman.
I love that hat.
I love mine, too.
Like, well, where is yours? That's mine, I think, right?
Yeah.
Did you bring it home?
Yeah.
Do you wear it around the house?
No, I wear it in public, though.
Do you?
I don't wear it alone.
Do you wear it to Oktoberfest?
If I ever went to one, I would. Maybe I'll go this year. I mean, it's a wool. You know, it's a kind of a heavy duty hat.
Yeah.
So it's more of a winter hat.
It's more for going up in the mountains.
Yeah.
In the snow.
But look at that.
It's got a little edelweiss on it and a feather. And
you can dust your furniture at the same time.
I think that's the hats that you wear when you do the slap dance.
Ah, I love it.
Whack!
Anyway, this is the part of the show where Leo and I wear hats.
Do I look like one of those old men you see on the beach in Miami?
Yep, you look like you've got one of those metal detectors.
I had a cigar.
And you're ready to find a ring. You are ready.
I came to Miami from Queens. I was tired of the snow.
God, nothing says I don't care about you or your lunch.
Than a metal detector?
No, like a guy just smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
You know?
There are a lot of them in Miami.
I don't even hate the smell of it. It's just, it's a real kind of like, F you. Enjoy.
I'm here.
This is all around you.
I'm smoking.
Yeah. They often are large men.
Big
and
men.
Sometimes not wearing shirts.
I wouldn't make fun of them.
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm just saying.
No, sirree.
I'm saying, I see you, sir.
I'm going to be that guy.
You have been noticed.
About 5 years, if everything goes right with my personal capital.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. You're never going to need another job. So
there
I am. Get off of LinkedIn and get on to Miami.
Hey, get off my beach, Lane.
Okay.
I'm smoking here.
My app this week is called Launch Center Pro. Is this something that you're familiar with?
I am, and this is another example of something I don't get on the Mac. I understand it on a
computer. You know what it is.
What
is it?
It's
basically like Quicksilver for the Mac.
Which I use and I love.
I won't call Launch Center Pro quite as functional as Quicksilver, but it's really not meant to be. I mean, this is an app solution to provide yourself actions. So not just, hey, access to apps, because that's how, you know, on iOS, it's like, well, I've got apps. You touch an app, it launches, and then you do something with it. Launch Center Pro is designed to say something like, some of the stuff is default, because they want you to understand what's going on when you first...
But I see Twitter. Now, why is there two Twitters? Is it two different things I could do?
Yeah, because in the text, let's say... that I just took a photo and I'm like, oh, I want to tweet that. That would be really funny. All right, so instead of...
Oh, it just takes your last photo and it doesn't open Twitter. It gives you
exactly
a Twitter command box.
That's right, because I assigned an action to this little box here.
So you could have a whole page of different things you could do to Twitter.
Correct. Now, the way that you put this together is you call it Last Voter, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
It'll walk you through creating the action. You got an action composer here. I've got the Twitter icon because that's an easy way for me to remind myself of what it is. There's some scheduling options as well. You can put the action somewhere else. But you know what's almost, and that's great. Now, there's tweet, there's last photo. There is, you know, just sort of a variety of stuff. But let's say that you're always calling your mom, and you just, wouldn't it be nice if, like, that was just an app, and you just press.
So you could have a button to call your mom.
Exactly. So let's say I get rid of email Anna right here. I don't want that action.
I don't even know what that is.
That's
a pre-populated
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
I see, but that would be to send an email to a specific person.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So let's say I want to create an action. Mm-hmm. I want to say, call mom.
Would you?
You go ahead
and say. Oh, okay,
you'll
use the action composer.
Yeah,
right.
So then you go ahead and say, well, this is going to be a system action. You're using the.
Oh, this is pretty sophisticated.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome.
There's the mail
actually.
App right there underneath the iOS. Right in the middle there.
Well,
mail.
No, but I wanted to. Oh, I see. Search for dog contact. Da da da.
Oh, I see. You're looking for a person first.
Right, and then you know, I'll call it something again. I'll call it mom. Whatever.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to go too far into this because there's no reason to share her phone number with everybody. But you see, then at that point, that becomes part of my launch center, right?
All right. Now you launch launch center by launching an app called Launch Center.
Right.
So you, yeah, all right. Do you do that a lot?
I do on my iPhone. Launch Center
you
Pro.
You keep it running most of the time.
Launch Center Pro is actually in my dock.
Interesting.
Yeah, because...
Oh, that makes sense. Put it in your dock.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get quick access
just,
to it.
Yeah, it's just your it's your one-stop shop for a lot of shortcuts.
Right. Now, how much is it?
On the iPad, it is $7.99.
A little pricey.
It's a little pricey.
I'm saving up for cigars on the beach.
Yeah, I bet you are. What's also kind of nice, though, is let's say there was a an action or a grouping mechanism. And what's nice for grouping is that then you've got... okay, so...
So you have multiple pages, right?
Yeah, so I can say, like, within bookmarks...
Oh, I get it.
You know, like
so that pulls you to a page of bookmarks.
So it's actually... It's quite a few levels deep.
You know what? I might have to buy this.
If you really want to make use of this...
Yeah.
It would be easy to be like, aren't they like folders? But really, it's assigning actions that are associated with apps that you're already using.
Right.
So there's a lot more to it. And in that sense... I think that's a lot of fun. You know, photos, you've got the,
the
possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
It's fun. And the settings area gives you a little bit of control over how things look and if you want to back up stuff to Dropbox and this and that. But yes, I've been using it on my iPhone for a while. It is, this isn't an iPhone app. This is a universal app. And I don't know. I think it's great. It's good stuff.
This has been a... That's called Launchpad.
Launch Center Pro.
Launch Center Pro for the iPad.
Correct.
There's an iPhone version as well.
Contrast.co.
This has been a week of a boon for me. Boon of great games. F and Dunn showed me one called, what was it, Cross the Line, Over the On the Line. And I almost made that my app cap. But I have to say the winner is, despite the name, Bleck.
Bleck.
Who told me about Bleck?
Probably Liz.
Who did?
Andy Anako.
Told me about Bleck. This is a couple of bucks and really well worth it. Now, I'm at a very advanced Bleck level, so really I should go back in time. These are various challenges and stuff. I've cleared quite a few stages. I'm now in the 26 to 30 stage. But let's go to the beginning. Can I go to the beginning? You can challenge friends. I want to show you an easy one, because if I show you a hard one, it's just going to be really terrible. Let me see. Can I go back? Yeah, here we go. So these levels are pretty tough. Let's go to an easier level and give you the idea. What I love about it, first of all, the sounds are very whimsical and fun. This is the first one you'll see. You're just going to draw. This to me... Remember, I've been waiting for an app that is iPad native. This is really iPad native. The controls are exactly what you expect. You draw a line. and the line goes wherever you drew it. And in this case, I'm going to make it go straight through those blue dots and clear the level, okay?
Okay.
But it gets harder. Well, I got two of them. Now,
it's kind of like pool.
It is a little bit. You can do...
Because the idea is you want to get rid of the dots, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it gets harder. It is a little bit like pool.
You can't just always draw a straight line,
right?
I assume.
Whoops. Now, one thing that's different is you can bounce off the side walls, but you can't bounce off the top and the bottom walls.
Oh.
There's also different kinds of holes. These black holes are literally black holes. If you try to get through them, it gets sucked right into them, so you can't.
What you have to do is a
pattern. Oh, you heard it. Oh, I went too high. You can see.
That's hard.
You can see.
Can you do a circle? Can you go around?
I can do a circle.
Well, a circle around.
So. Ooh. I have to make it big enough. Oh. I love the sound effects. This isn't actually one of the harder levels. There we go.
Oh, that
so
is
So I bounced
hard.
It over the black hole,
that
and I got
slinky.
The... Now, these are all basically... this one, a circle, would actually probably do well in. Let's see if I can do it with a circle. Now we got to make more progress here. Oh, it missed one. Let's see if it'll get it on the way back. Sometimes there's serendipity, which makes it kind of fun. Now I have to get this... Now we're going to start getting a little bit more complicated. And what you eventually realize is you've kind of got to duplicate the shape with a pattern that... we're going to duplicate the shape with a pattern that ends up at the right spot. Whoops. Almost. You're kind of duplicating the shape with your pattern. That's the idea.
Your mountain needs to be higher.
You think my mountain needs to be higher?
Yeah.
See, this is a very big backseat driver game, by the way. Don't play this game with anybody like Sarah Lane. Backseat drivers go, oh, no, it's very easy. You see what you're doing. You got to do this.
You make your mountain higher.
Oh, golly.
You've got to have a
lot. I love the sound effects on this.
It's so very... That's hard.
This is really, really a fun game. And, so this is one of those games, I guess you could consider it frustrating, but you could take your time here, you know? So there's no... you can think about it. There's no clock ticking or anything like that. So you can kind of come up with a solution. And you can draw this line very carefully and slowly, by the way. It is possible to make lines that just never go anywhere. Just kind of go in circles forever and stuff like that.
This is so odd.
It's a really fun game. I love it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I really love it.
I mean, it's made for iPad for sure.
Well, and that's what I love seeing a game that is designed that really fits the model, you know, the user interface. It really is fun.
Also, you don't need to be connected to the internet, so you can play this on a plane for like 6 hours.
Right. And you probably will, because once you start playing it, you'll see it's very challenging.
Oh. Whoa!
Look
at you.
And you'll get a few of those where you go, wow, I did it!
I did it!
Wow! It's called Bleck. I think, how much is it now? They say they raised the price after I started talking about it.
$2.99.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's, I just looked. Bleck. B-L-E-K. I love it.
I think you will like this game. Mainly because it initially you might say, well, it's going to be tense, but it isn't, because there's something kind of peaceful about the sound effects and the way they do it. I like the sounds they make, and it's really it's a fun game. And you do start actually figuring it out after a while. I've gotten fairly far on. You want to see the level I'm at, though?
Yeah.
Oh man, it is a tough level. Let's see, Matt. It gets harder. I think that's my level 29. I have no idea. I've been trying this for days.
Oh, good gracious. Best of luck with all that. Well, so now, all right. Oh, God.
See what I'm saying?
It's like, at that point, I feel like there's not even a skill.
There is, because...
You just draw lines until you get lucky?
No. By now, you've figured out that the way to do this is to duplicate the pattern... And you have to make the pattern that you're going to want over here and have it end where you want the pattern to begin. So
yeah.
First thing you have to do is, well, what is the pattern to solve this? It's probably something golly, like this, 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 and up. Okay, so I'm going to draw kind of a box, but I'm going to have an angle. So you try to duplicate that, but the trick is to have it end up there as you duplicate it. You see, I didn't do that. And they've put black holes in the way, so that's what ends up happening is you have to start to get strategic about it and figure it out.
Infuriating.
But what's nice is it's a non-verbal game that you kind of understand and play almost without... It's a gut feeling. It's fun. It kicked you right in the gut.
So is the moral of the story, don't go with your gut.
Don't go with your gut on this one.
You're not going to get the level. That's a cool game.
And it can just be... I think kids... You know what might be interesting? I'd love to do this experiment with like 3 or 4 year olds to see. I think if you had a very smart 3 or 4 year old, because it's completely nonverbal, they don't have to read or anything, that they might actually figure this game out.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be interesting? And it'd be like, wow, they might be geniuses or something.
Right. Good at something.
And the
if
music will get them
kid,
to play it.
You might as well make sure that they're good for something.
Black. They're good at black. That just goes forever.
Oh.
I like also that the line has some texture.
Yeah, it's quick.
And look at the chat room. Everybody in the chat room has a solution to this.
It's slightly going up.
Begs for people.
I love it.
Yeah. Begs for people to backseat drive. It's just like, yeah, I might get those bottom four, but it's, you know.
Mm, oh. Yeah. Oh, that actually kind of, you got close.
Yeah, you have fun with it.
All right, everybody. Well, those are our app caps. We've got Launch Center Pro if you want to assign actions to make your iPad a lot more robust.
I knew about it, but I thought, oh, that sounds silly. But you know what? I like how you demonstrated it. It makes some sense to me.
It's pretty cool. You can do a lot of different stuff, of course, depending on what apps you use regularly and stuff that you feel like you're doing over and over and scrolling through contacts. Don't do that. Get Launch Center Pro. And then, of course, if you want to get very frustrated, then install Black as well.
$2.99. And I'll be there sitting on the bench playing and smoking my cigar.
On South Beach in front of the Delano.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching this episode of iPad Today. Leo and I will be back. No. Next Monday finally is Memorial Day.
She's been waiting for this for 3 months.
Well, I'm sad. I hate missing things.
I do too.
So,
Why don't you come in and just do a show?
Yeah.
Well, there won't be any people here.
Right.
No cameras.
Yeah.
Chat room won't be here.
It's not like, you know that I am just a sad, lonely person when I'm, you know, in real life, so why not? I'm not doing anything on Memorial Day.
Call me. Maybe I'll come in and smoke a cigar and bother you. I'll heckle you.
Sounds great.
Wayne!
If that doesn't happen, please don't be alarmed.
You're calling out an app!
The following week with another wonderful, fun-filled edition of iPad Day. Until then, see ya! Oh.